To walk with me around the lake tonight, around the lake tonight, by my side.
Welcome back in the zone on the road, live from the Little Rock Touchdown Club, presented by our friends at Epic Health. Appreciate them. We'll talk to Cliff Harris, who is the featured speaker today, as well as the man behind the award for the best defensive player in small college football in these United States. So look forward to him. Matt Harris will join us as well, his young son. Of course, that mic's not going to work again. Oh, gracious. Here, talking to this. I know that works for sure.
Did you pick
the bumper music?
That bumper music.
I'm responsible for nothing.
That's good. Yeah. Whoever picked it out, I'm
impressed.
Thank you.
His name is Matt. Let me, guys need to get
together. I think we've met.
Maddie. Yeah, I like that guy.
This segment is brought to you in part by our friends at Suddenlink, and I will tell you more about that in a minute because we have John Cooper standing by on the Revolution Hotline from Saturday Down South. John, your microphone is working, I assume.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Woo! Good to have you, my man. That's good. Awesome now because, yeah, I love technical problems to start a week off. But anyway, we've got a busy day today, and football season is finally here, and you, like the rest of us, we sort of piece it together in the summer. Now we get to actually enjoy ourselves and have a good time and talk actual football and matchups and games and players that are actually performing. So it should be fun.
Yeah, I think everybody's ready to get this season kicked off. I think everybody has a strong taste of Johnny Manziel fatigue, ready to get back on the field, hear some pads popping. Man, that starts this Thursday. It's already here, and we really need to enjoy it because before we know it, it's going to be week six, and we're going to be wondering where everything's going.
Well, let's talk about a few things that you guys have been getting into at SaturdayDownSouth.com. I saw a story that you put together, and I love stuff like this. It's interesting to see it. Other than last year, of course, Arkansas tanking at home, but you looked at the top teams from the SEC over the last 5 years at home and the kind of advantage they have. And for Arkansas, there had been a good little run there the last few years until last season when they ran into the John L. Smith wall that he unexpectedly put up for them.
Yeah, last year really, we produce this every year, and it's always interesting to see from one year to the next. I mean, you're only as good as your last game, as good as your last season, essentially. And last year, Arkansas was in the number three slot, right behind Alabama, LSU, above Florida and Georgia. You know, and with a 3-5 home record, they took a tumble, which, you know, is expected with such a bad year, but really, the surprise of this list this year would be South Carolina, who posted a 7-0 record last year. They're 30-5 in the last 5 years, right under Alabama and LSU. So they kind of took Arkansas' slot right there. But it's always fun to look at these home records, and it's a good success story.
Was there anybody on there that surprised you as far as either their success or lack thereof? I mean, I can see. Obviously, when you look towards the bottom and you see a team like A&M, I mean, that one sort of jumps off the page. But from a success standpoint, a team that maybe hasn't done as well at home, anything that surprised you?
You know, the reason that Missouri and Texas A&M were really at the bottom for me is because they're coming from the Big 12. We don't know too much. We've only had 1 year sample size. So they've done okay at home. They haven't been great. Texas A&M is just barely over 600, which is a little surprising. Well, I think South Carolina was the biggest surprise, certainly falling in that number three slot. I think Tennessee is another surprise. I mean, they're a historical powerhouse. The last 5 years, they've really struggled. I mean, they're 23-14 and haven't had an impressive showing. Of course, that's why they brought in Butch Jones to change things around. And I know everybody in Knoxville is really pumped to see what he can do and hopefully bring winning back there.
You know, this is something that Arkansas fans can relate to because we talk about trying to sell out the stadium and trying to fill it up, and Tennessee's having an issue with that. It's not surprising considering the fact that they've been less than up to Tennessee standards the last few years, and they have an enormous stadium, so that's a bad combination. They're doing flex pricing, I guess, on the 6,700 less attractive upper deck seats in the south end zone, starting tickets at $20 a pop for the home games against Austin Peay, Western Kentucky, and South Alabama. And initially priced at face value for the remaining games, but they can be adjusted through the season, it says. So it is interesting that everybody's dealing with that. And, you know, we talk about it here, whether it's people watching on TV or, you know, people will just want to tailgate at War Memorial Stadium and not go into the game. But there are other places that are fighting the same battle.
I think that's one of the main issues that athletic directors are faced with going forward. How are we going to keep getting people in seats? We've seen it even with the teams are good. I mean, Alabama had a little problem last year, and I know, you know, historically they're rabid. Their fan base is rabid. They go to every game. And, you know, every team's faced with it, not only in the SEC, but around college football with the home entertainment centers. We just might as well stay home and watch every single game because in the comfort of our own homes. So this is really a decision that predicament that athletic directors are faced with. So, you know, the number one qualm right now is ticket prices. It's too expensive to take a family to a game, and that's something that Tennessee's looking at, and certainly all the other ones. And, you know, and athletic directors and athletic departments are going to have to look at it and say, okay, what's our main factors we're faced with? I think traffic is a big one. I think tailgating is a huge experience they can expound on. So any way that they can, you know, create more of a, you know, entertainment style around the tailgating issue and certainly lowering ticket prices will help get people back in seats.
John Cooper of SaturdayDownSouth.com joining us. It's interesting here, too, is I didn't realize the teams did this. Now, Arkansas has a price for non-conference games for games at War Memorial, and they have a price for conference games there. So it's a $10 difference, $55 versus $65. But they go a step further at Tennessee. Georgia is $80. South Carolina is $80. And, again, these are upper deck end zone seats, folks. So those of you who complain about $65 seats at War Memorial, check out what Tennessee's getting in a stadium that's twice the size. But Auburn, $70 a game, so $10 less, and Vanderbilt only $55. So it just shows you the level of respect that the administrative folks have for the varying teams in the SEC. And if I'm Vanderbilt, I mean, what a slap in the face. It's like we're worth $25 less a game than the folks from Georgia or South Carolina. It's pretty funny to me.
Yeah, and you know, Vanderbilt's facing the same situation. They're at a historical high within their own program. They're having problems selling as many seats as they did last year, coming off, you know, the best season in a long time for their program. And, you know, they're having a hard time. I think that speaks a little bit to Nashville a little bit, and, you know, they got a pro team there, so it's not necessarily quite as down. So it's you know, going to be a continual struggle, not only for Vanderbilt to sell season tickets, but to keep Franklin there because of it.
Are we still counting the Titans as a pro team, John? I mean, come on, that's a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah, it's Titans have struggled, that's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we'll make fun of them later. Moving on, Brett Bielema, obviously very active. I don't know that there's been a coach in America, and certainly not in the SEC, that's been more active as far as going out and speaking to clubs and getting in front of media members. He's got a weekly appearance now on ESPN. On Wednesdays. So, I mean, this is a guy that's been out there. How would you assess the job that he has done in trying to win the hearts and minds of Razorback fans?
Well, look, I think he's done a great job. I really have. And I think you could make a case that all the other three coaches have done A-plus jobs as well. They've all had great off seasons, you know, ranked probably in the top five in the SEC in all their off seasons. They've done a fantastic job in recruiting, you know, despite having down years and, you know, having not a lot of program momentum heading into this year. But Bielema's done a good job, and he's going to do a good job. I think certainly the offseason shows it. You know, what he did in a short amount of time in recruiting helped get the ball rolling, and he's getting in front of people right now and selling this program. So I think he's done a fantastic job. I think he's the best long-term solution of any new SEC coach as well.
John Cooper, Saturday Down South, joining us in the zone on the Revolution Hotline. I saw that you did a ranking of the top football stadiums in the SEC the other day, and I tweeted you back and said you need to include War Memorial, even if you put them 15th. As long as Arkansas is playing home games there, it should still count. You may put a little asterisk next to it, but there could be a case made that it has the best tailgating environment of anybody in the league.
You can certainly make that you know, case as well, and you know, a lot of people discount Arkansas and Razorback Stadium because they play at some games at War Memorial. So we don't let that factor into our rankings as well. But you ask, you know, 20 different people, they're going to give you 20 different answers. I think, you know, the passion and the lore and the tradition around the SEC is second to none. And that's kind of all funneled into one, you know, and that's the stadium atmosphere on game day. So, fantastic, man. We're looking forward to getting back into stadiums. I know fans are, and reconvening with their closest friends.
Yeah, we quoted your list last week when we had Coach Bielema on, pointed out to him that he's playing at not only the top two, but the top three stadiums in the SEC on the road this season. So Arkansas not getting a whole lot of favors in the scheduling department.
They're really not, and I think Arkansas is pound for pound. There's been a lot of case made for Florida and even LSU. I think Arkansas is the toughest schedule this year of any team. That's a big reason why going into those three venues is just downright nasty. And we'll see how they do. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm optimistic about them, and it's fun. But no doubt, you know, Vilma's going to have a tough job here in the short term, in the foreseeable future. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay, so what's the Saturday Down South perspective on Arkansas season as far as a win total? And then what's more specifically, what are your expectations in this opener, which I think most fans who are astute football fans and have paid any attention, this is going to be a pretty good challenge for Arkansas in its first game.
Yeah, it really is. And the Rage Cajuns, they're going to you know, bring a very good team. So I think in the short run, this is a huge game to get momentum going. I think it's very much a winnable game. I think there's a very legitimate chance that Arkansas starts out 4-0. They do that, they're going to a bowl game. But they need to do that in order to get the momentum going for the season before they hit that stretch conference run, which is just going to be brutal. You know, right now I think, you know, the over and under is probably 5.5, 6 wins. It's tough to make a case that they're going to get 6 wins with the tough schedule. I would probably go with 5 right now in bringing up the SEC West rear right now. But, you know, that's in the short run, and I think he's going to have to do a fantastic job. But, you know, just for this year, it's going to be a struggle, I think, offensively. I think defensive-wise, they're going to be a little bit better, but, you know, they've face some attrition at the wide receiver position. There's some questions. We'll see how the offensive line do. I think they'll show marked improvement. I think Brandon Allen is going to be fine. So we'll see. I think 6 wins is the goal in a fantastic season. I would go with the under at 5 right now.
John Cooper joining us Saturday on South. One last thing before we let you go. We've got about a minute left. The new schedule came out last week as well for the 2014 season, and I guess you could say for the 2015 season too, as they're going to flip-flop those. Who'd you feel like were the big winners and the big losers in this thing?
I think, you know, the two, if you want to call them losers, I think Florida and Auburn have the toughest schedules. I mean, you look at Florida, they play LSU and Alabama in the same year from the West. That's just tough, but it's Florida. Yeah. And they're going to have a talented roster, and Auburn's probably another one. I think the biggest winners are the new rivalry games. I think Arkansas and Missouri is going to be fantastic. I think Texas A&M South Carolina is going to be fantastic. The SEC network as a whole is a winner. And another great thing I liked about it was the LSU-Texas A&M game moving to Thanksgiving. It's going to be fun to see how this thing plays out, see exactly when we go to a 9-game schedule in the future. I think it's only inevitable. But 2014 is going to bring on a whole new set of challenges for every single team.
John, appreciate the time so much, and we'll visit again here as soon as we get into some play.
Hey, appreciate it, guys.
All right, thanks, John. That's John Cooper from Saturday Down South on the Revolution Hotline, and lots of good stuff happening over there. Suzanne and Pigskin, I know you've spent some time over there watching shows. They have a show as early as tomorrow night, Great White, featuring Jack Russell.